You ready?
Hey, Ethel.
Yep.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Ethel.
I'm an addict compulsive eater, and very glad to be here today. I've worked these steps as they're laid out in the big book with the help of my big book step study sponsor, a loving God. I've made all the amends I can up to this point, and I'm willing to make any other amends that come up. And I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12 each day to the best of my ability. And, you know, if I start at the back here on my last page here, about love and tolerance of others is our code, what I have written above that is that that's not a suggestion. That's not a suggestion. And how do I get to the place of love and tolerance for all if I don't have a change in attitude? And in the reading today on page 76, one of the quotes here is that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And at the bottom of my page, it says that's from James 2:20 and James 2:26. And I thought, wow, that in that short little reading, there's that directive. Faith without works is dead. Well, where do you get this faith? Faith is an attitude as well. And the only way I know to get an attitude change is to pray. For God to change my attitude. And when I looked at my list of all the people on my list and the resentments that I had toward them, my attitude was pretty sucky about most of that stuff, because I felt like, you know, my attitude was they owed me something. All those people owed me something. And I can remember my sponsor saying to me, let's talk about the amends you're going to make. Don't just run off and make amends, because you could mess things up, especially if your attitude hasn't changed. If you're just going through the motions and, well, they told me I have to make these amends. If my heart hasn't been changed, I do not need to be making amends. I need to pray until my heart has changed. And I remember one of the people on my list, I had given her a birthday gift that I would love to have received myself. It was a really nice gift. And I bought it as if I was buying it for myself. And she wasn't as grateful for that gift as I thought she should be, because it was a great gift. So, you know, that's part of my resentment toward her, is that she didn't thank me profusely. She didn't show any amount of gratitude. And I carried that around until I sat with it and I asked God to show me the truth. Show me the truth about this. And what God showed me was that my gift was very selfish. It was very selfish. And the fact is, the gift I gave her didn't take into account her physical condition or her needs at all. It was a beautiful handbag that was just too big for somebody with her physical limitations. But I didn't consider any of that. And so when I had an opportunity to contact her and tell her, I realize now how selfish I was in giving you that gift, and I understand now why you weren't really grateful for that. And she said, well, it wasn't going to work, you know. And I'm like, but I thought you should be grateful anyway. You know, this is that heartfelt stuff that we get into. But I guess the most important point is getting out of that resentful state before making an amends, to clear up the yuck, to have a relationship restored with someone who meant something to me. And as I think about steps 8 and 9, they really are always worked together. Before making the amend, the step 8 work needs to be done. The 9 work is the action. The 8 work is the prayer and the attitude change to get to do the action. Because, you know, so many times people come into these rooms and they say, oh, I could never make amends. I could never go to that person. And, you know, well, I know what that means. But truly, each one of these steps, one has to be worked before the other, before the other. And so when I tell people, don't worry about getting all the way up to step 9, you're just coming in the door. There's a lot of work to be done to get ready to make amends. But they tell us, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you.
We're good with it.
Poor little guy.
Poor baby. Okay, so the difference for me in the willingness, what has to happen to become willing to make amends. And that to me is, of course, step 8. And the importance of absolutely getting my attitude right with everyone that I was holding a resentment toward. As we go along, we find out that, I know an example. My sponsor said my first amends should be to my husband. And if I were really just carrying a torch about whatever, I would have to pray about that. I would have to get ready to make that amend and talk to her about, hey, I'm not ready to do that. I am so incensed with him right now, or whatever, you know. So I think that we all know people who have rushed out to make amends and been burned, you know, because we think that it all has to be done just like this. Well, how long did we spend writing our list, for instance? I mean, there's a lot that went into that and a lot of truth revealed to us. But during that particular thing, that doesn't mean, I mean, we were shown the truth, but that doesn't mean our attitude was changed. And so getting to the place where I've got my list and I'm praying over this particular one I need to make. One of mine that was really important was to my dad. And I couldn't go directly to him. I wrote him a letter, and it was a heartfelt letter that during that writing, during that process, my feelings toward him mellowed a lot. But then there was a time before I went to his gravesite with my writing and sat there and read him what I had to say and cried it out. You know, that was truly clearing up that side of it for me. You know, I had to just trust in the great beyond that he heard me. But in order to we do all of this to seeking the spiritual experience. Having the full spiritual experience is that thing that's going to keep us from being back in our disease. And in the book, it talks about any links. We would go to any links for victory over alcohol. And for me, it's for victory over my disease. My disease covers a lot. And if I don't have the step 8 work, the step 9 work going hand in hand, I am never going to have those promises. And I love it when we are reading the promises in this book. I know for me, every morning when I do my reading of steps 10 and 11, I start with the promises. And the promises for me, one of the things that I'm gonna change this for the way I read it. If I am painstaking about this phase of my development, I will be amazed before I'm halfway through. Halfway through what, Ethel? Well, maybe halfway through my amends. Maybe halfway through my morning devotions. But I will be amazed. I am going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I'm going to know that because I have cleaned up my side of the street. I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. If I continually replay some of the events in my past that completely undid me without forgiveness, then I'm still regretting it. And having the opportunity to write about it, talk about it, get rid of it, it is the thing that my goal is. And it says, where does it say this? It says, I will comprehend the word serenity and I will know peace. I don't believe that prior to doing this work, I had much serenity and peace. I was charged up and thin-skinned and carrying a chip on my shoulder most of the time. And it says, no matter how far down the scale I have gone, I will see how my experience can benefit others. And so to be able to share my experience with others, and trusting that if I share some embarrassing thing or some whatever with someone, that there can be a benefit. And I know a lot of times when I've shared my experience, I have been convinced that it's because somebody can benefit from this. There are so many things that happened early in my life. I announced myself as an addict, compulsive eater. And I don't usually talk about the addict part, but you know, my addict part has to do mainly with relationships and from a very early age being obsessed with boys, and as I got older being obsessed with men. And I can see very clearly that that obsession is no different than my obsession with getting my food substance. That there's no difference for me there. And I actually was able to picture fourth grade Ethel obsessed with a boy on the other side of the playground. And all I could ever think about was him. I mean, is he looking at me? Is he noticing me? I mean, it was just a sick obsession. I didn't know how to play with other people. But if I can share that experience and one other person says, man, I was that nuts too. You know, it's helpful to know I'm not the only one who has had some wacky experiences, but to know that there's help. And it says that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Well, I used to not volunteer to do anything, because I was so convinced I was useless. I didn't think there was any point in me showing up, really, because of my uselessness. And when Peggy said Ethel volunteered to do steps 8 and 9, well, Ethel didn't used to volunteer to do anything like that. Ethel just tried really hard to blend into the woodwork. That was my game. And how thankful I am to have a program that has, these kind of promises have come through for me. It says, I will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in my fellows. That's a huge promise, you know, when I think about that my whole world used to just be me. And it says, self-seeking will slip away. Well, I saw what a great big self-seeker I was when I was doing my work. And it says, my whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Wow, yes. You know, I find myself as I'm sitting here talking, wishing my mother could be here, because my mother knew what I went through, what I suffered through. And I would love to just be able to say to her, Mom, it's not like that now. I finally have come into my own, to where I can speak to other people. I can actually feel somebody else's pain. And my mom would want to know that. It's just amazing how doing this very honest work can change a person. It says, fear of people and economic insecurity will leave me. And I'm so grateful to not be afraid of people today. I'm not afraid of what you think of me anymore. I used to think if you didn't think well of me, I would just die on the spot. But I learned that's a lie. It's okay if you don't like me. My health or my death doesn't depend on that. I would love to be respected, to be cared for, but it's not a requirement. That's just huge. And it says, I will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle me. Well, has anybody else in this room ever been baffled? Baffled to the point of it takes you to your knees and you wonder, how in the world can I survive this? How can I survive this? But the next sentence says, I will suddenly realize that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. God. It is through this work that I found God, that I found a faith in God that I wish I had known growing up. You know, it doesn't matter if you grow up in a church and you don't learn about faith in God. And that's my story. I learned tradition. I learned a lot of stuff, but I didn't learn about having faith in God. I took off on my own, trying to solve every life problem on my own, and took some of the problems that were just unbelievable and made them even more unbelievable. So these are not extravagant promises. We can say, we think not. These are not extravagant promises. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they will only materialize if we work for them. And working for them means working every single step all the way through, and then continuing every day, steps 10, 11, and 12, every day. We just keep on going. I listened to a CD the other night at a meeting on step 5. And I may have said this in here last week. I don't remember. But anyway, this isn't a step 5 program. This is a 12-step program. So if we think that, you know, we got all these great feelings from step 5, you can't just rest on your laurels right there at step 5. You just can't, because nothing stays the same. If you're not moving ahead, you're just sliding right back down. I think I have probably said all I want to say on steps 8 and 9. And I thank you all for being here and listening to me.
Thank you, Ethel.
Thank you very much, Ethel. That was very good. If you are new to this meeting,